Welcome to another week of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and this is, I told you a month ago, we did our first iterations of the NBA Power Rankings for the season. And I said we'd update them once a month, probably, just to see kind of where we're at, where teams are moving, seeing any trends. And so the last time I did this for the Power Rankings was, I believe, a couple days before Christmas Day. So it has definitely been a month. So it is time to do a little solo pod. Cody will be back next week, of course, but do a little solo pod doing an update on the NBA Power Rankings just to see where teams are moving, who's hot, who's falling apart a little bit, who's having that midseason kind of lull. So the first episode, you know, is almost an hour because we're giving more in-depth look here. This one's going to be a lot quicker because it's more of an update, little thoughts, not a ton of information for you. So the first couple, five, six teams maybe, there might be a little bit more information to them, and then we're going to start rattling through this list pretty quick. So we'll see where the movement is. So thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoy this one. So let's get right into it. Number one, the Boston Celtics, who previously, when we did this Power Rankings update, were first. No movement for them. They boasted 9.7 net rating. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The next five for them, they play at Miami. They play home for the Clippers, home for the Pelicans, home for the Pacers, and home for the Lakers. So a fun stretch coming up for them, playing against the Clippers and the Pelicans and the Pacers and the Lakers. Miami is, look, Grizzlies are playing Miami right now. It's halftime of that game, and Miami looks dead. I know they just made a trade for Terry Rozier, but they don't look good right now. So Celtics, 9.7 net rating, is number one in the league. They have the number one record in the league. They're going to be number one, number two, number three this entire season. It just is what it is. But like we said previously in the Power Rankings, is it just always a regular season thing with them? Number two, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who previously were fifth in our first initial Power Rankings. They boast an 8 net rating. Their next five, they play at the Spurs, at the Pelicans, at the Pistons, home for the Timberwolves, home for the Nuggets. So two easy ones with the Spurs and the Pistons. Three rather difficult ones at the Pelicans, home for Timberwolves, home for the Nuggets. The biggest thing that I said with this team was shooting, right? And they have turned this thing around with shooting. They're boasting almost a 40% from three. Is that something that's sustainable for them? It feels like it. I mean, we're, what, 40-something games in? So if it's going to stick this long, then it's probably something that's here to stay, right? So the Thunder, I think, are a legit team. Can they win the championship? I don't think so. Can they go far in the playoffs? Probably. But I think it's, you know, it's kind of like the Grizzlies in that first run, you know, winning 56 games. Not saying that the Thunder are going to win 56 games, but all of a sudden it's like, wait, they're a 2 seed? And then they're bounced out in the second round because they just haven't been there yet, at least with the current form that they're in, right? Like SGA has been to the playoffs before. Bounced in the first round and was not very good in the playoffs. Now it's going to be the first time for a lot of these guys. So it's just one of those things, like, it's not a failure if they win 50-plus games and make the playoffs and get bounced out. Like, this happens all the time for young NBA teams. So it's not that big of a deal. They're still a really good regular season team and a fun watch. Number three, the Philadelphia 76ers, who last previous time they were ranked second, so they moved down one spot. They boast an 8.4 net rating. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Their next five are all on the road. They play at the Pacers, at the Nuggets, at the Blazers, at the Warriors, at the Jazz. So not a murderer's row, which is maybe why you know, they drop a little bit. This schedule for them hasn't been, at least recently, extremely difficult. They're 7-3 in their last 10, like I said. But Joel Embiid, 70 points. He's having an amazing season. The problem is the playoff thing. That's the thing we're all going to worry about right now for power rankings. It doesn't matter because he is playing like he's trying to repeat as MVP. And how much of that is the weight of the burden of winning MVP off of him? You play, you want something your entire career. You finally get it. That weight of that burden is finally dropped off. Now he's just playing free. Or how much of it is Nick Nurse being like, hey, dude, do this? How much of it is just simplifying things for Joel instead of, Doc Rivers, who's wanting to do all this stuff and has James Harden? So is it the simplification for him, or is it James Harden leaving? He doesn't have to deal with that. Now he has someone who likes to play basketball and Tyrese Maxey. James Harden likes to play basketball. I shouldn't say that, but it's not a daily, oh boy, what now? But Tyrese Maxey is kind of the question mark, right? Like, he's really good. Is he probably going to make an all-star team this year? Probably. Is he a guy that you would trust to win three straight playoff series as a two? I don't think so. But we're going to find out. He might not quite be ready yet, but Embiid is having an awesome regular season. Number four, the Denver Nuggets. 5.4 net rating. Previously in our rankings, they were sixth. The next five for them they play at the Knicks. They play home 76ers, the Bucks, at the Thunder, home for the Blazers. So obviously, the Knicks are a good team. But obviously, the 76ers is the matchup we all want, right? That's the one that we want to see. We want to see the Jokic and Embiid, the two what feels like top players in the NBA, both being centers, going against each other. So the Nuggets just are chugging along, man. Like, they're just good. There's not like any desperation to them, but I feel like they can turn it on when they want to. And when they want to turn it on, they actually care. There's a reason why they won the NBA championship. Number five, the Los Angeles Clippers, who just keep climbing in this thing. Previously, they were seventh in our initial power rankings. They boast a 5.7 net rating. Next seven on the road for them, all against Eastern Conference teams. The Raptors, the Celtics, the Cavs, the Wizards, the Pistons, the Heat, and the Hawks. So seven on the road is a tough stretch for any NBA team. It's not a brutal schedule of teams, but seven on the road in the East is pretty tough. So we'll be interested to see how they come out of that. Do they come out 5-2, which would be a really nice run for them, or like most teams are kind of a 4-3. If they're a real deal top, 7-8 team, they rattle off a 6-1. Like in that one loss is maybe to the Celtics. Maybe they beat the Celtics and they lose to the Cavs. But this should be a, if they're for real, I think the Clippers should handle business on these next seven road games. That's our top five. I don't have the next five games for the teams now. Just quick thoughts with where they are in their previous rankings. So they're going a little faster here. Number six, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who previously were fourth. The funniest thing in the NBA this year is Karl-Anthony Towns getting 62 points and taking a loss to the Charlotte Hornets. I don't know, like, is this team for real? Record says that you should take them for real. Defense says that you should take them for real. There's something offensively about this team, and if it gets tight, I just don't know, man. I don't think I would put them in my contenders list. I'm just not doing it. Nice season. Don't believe in it. Number seven, the Milwaukee Bucks. Previously were third. So a little bit of a slide for them. They should honestly probably slide a little more. I just do not like the Bucks this year. I think they're corny. They did make that move to fire Adrian Griffin to hire Doc Rivers. So things, I mean, me and Cody have been talking about all summer, all year, like this is a tough spot for a first-year head coach. Makes a trade for Damian Lillard, who notoriously has been kind of like a tough guy to like, you just get a lot of rumors about you or how he feels leaked out into the press. And Adrian Griffin kind of seemed like he was taking a hard line with this team that they needed discipline or a different approach from years with Mike Budenholzer, who Budenholzer was kind of like, yeah, do what you gotta do, man. I think Adrian Griffin was trying to instill like a discipline mentality, and it just rubbed all the players apparently the wrong way. So Giannis, Dame, like he called all those, Adrian Griffin called all those people out, and he lost the locker room apparently. Does that bode well for someone trying to win a championship? If their first year head coach is telling you you need to sacrifice and you need to do this differently for us to win, probably emphasize that they had to play defense, and you lose the locker room over that, and you get fired 40 games in. I mean, I think they started 30 and 13 is their current record. And that's a team that's going to win a championship. That team who can't be talked to by a first year head coach. Good luck, Doc Rivers. Get you that money, big dog, and another failure incoming. Number eight, the New York Knicks. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They made previously in our rankings, they were 10th, which at the time when I said they were 10th, it shocked me. But everything fits now. They made the OG Anunoby trade on December 30th. Since then, they're 10-2. So it's just a simple move that made all the pieces fit and make sense with each other. So the Knicks, yeah, I look, the Knicks are probably not going far in the playoffs. That's a reality. But they're still a top 12 NBA team. And they're just been consistent. 8-2 the last 10, 10-2 since acquiring OG Anunoby. Like, is this going to fall back a little bit? Maybe. But they're still going to be good enough in the East because it's the East. Number nine, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're also 8-2 in their last 10. They were previously 17th in our NBA power ranking. So this is quite a move. Maybe a little too much, but they get credit for the run that they're on, absolutely blitzing the league. December 14th, this team was 13 and 12. Since that moment, they're 12 and 3. Most of it without Darius Garland and most of it without Evan Mobley. So is that they figured things out without those guys? Because they certainly aren't better without them, although most people are going to say that because that's what people do. The Cavaliers, I had been a huge fan of the Cavaliers all summer. And some of this time stuff just kind of takes time, right? And sometimes teams have early season struggles. We don't understand why. Then they kind of pick it up, when guys go out. And that's kind of what Donovan Mitchell has done for this team. He's kind of picked it up. Then the guys will come back and they're still going to be really good. So the Cavaliers are like the fourth best team in the East to me. It's between a toss up between them and the Knicks. Like it's Celtics, 76ers, I guess I have to say Bucks, and then it's Knicks, Cavs, some way in that order right now. So I think the Cavs are really good. They've moved up into the top 10 from being 17th a month ago. Number 10 is the New Orleans Pelicans, who last power rankings, they were ninth. They're 26 and 18, and they're currently fifth in the West. If I had said that about the Pelicans without, like, if I had just said, are the New Orleans Pelicans good? Tell me where they are in the standings. Would you have guessed fifth? Because they just don't feel like a team that should be fifth, right? Like, I still haven't seen, like, a really impressive stretch of games for them. Like they have the capability of winning like four in a row, and then it'll be win loss win loss win win loss. Like it's not a we ripped off 7 or 8 wins in a row. If they did early in the season, my bad, I'm forgetting it. But it just feels like for being fifth in the West and how tough the West is, you'd think this would be like a sustained run. But it's they're only 26 and 18, which I get. It's a good record. But would you like, is it shocking to, not shocking, but is it surprising? To me, it's surprising. for what they've actually done this year. Number 11th, this one is the most surprising to me. The Phoenix Suns, who last time I had 18th. Look, we know the issues with this team. And if you remember my episode talking about the Suns at 18th a month ago, I said the next 20 games were incredibly massive for this team. If they came out of these next 20 games, 500, this was going to be a disaster. And I said they could rip off a streak here where they could go 16 and 4. Well, so far, they played 17 games since that episode came out. They're 13 and 4. They've won 8 in a row now with the wins. So I'm not saying that they've turned it around. Obviously, this can immediately flip for this Phoenix Suns teams because we saw it with the Nets. Like, things flip like this all the time. But they're on a really nice run. And I think we all expected them to do this. Now they seem to be catching their stride a little bit. 8 wins in a row. Like, it's the opposite of the Pelicans, right? Like, it's an impressive run of wins where it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense why you're a top five team in the West. And I don't think the Suns still are, even with a nice little run here. But it's a nice run. Number 12, the Sacramento Kings. Previously, they were 11th. So staying kind of in the same area that they have been, which I think is going to be how the season goes for the Kings. Because that's my thing for them. Are they just kind of treading water to get back to the playoffs? Or is there actual issues that are starting to pop up? I'm just not out on the Kings. I think they're really good. I know everybody's kind of like, oh, they're not going to repeat last year. And fine, they might not repeat last year, but I think this is a team that had a taste. So they know what to expect now. And they're just kind of like waiting to get back to the playoffs. Like De'Aaron Fox knows. So I think De'Aaron Fox is just kind of like doing just enough to where he doesn't get injured so they can really ramp it up in the playoffs. But Sabonis has had like a really impressive statistical run here. 13th, the Dallas Mavericks. They previously were 12th. And I really have no notes for them, just a bunch of question marks because it's like, what do you do with this team? I don't know what to do with this team. Kyrie will have an awesome run of games, then he'll be gone for 2 weeks. Luka will have a 50-point game. I think he's leading the league in scoring, and like his gambling line for points is just at like 36 and a half every game, which is insane. But this team just seems to be moving parts interchangeable all the time. There's no consistency at all with this team, it doesn't feel like. So I don't know, but they're still in the top 15. Don't love it, but what else am I going to do? Am I going to put the 14th team, the Indiana Pacers, over them? No. 14, the Indiana Pacers. They made the Siakam trade. Do they have anything else to do? Or do they want to do anything else? Can they do anything else? They previously were 20th. So it's like, why they had such a big jump? It's the Pacers. They just continue to win, man. Like, and at some point, you just got to give them credit. I probably didn't give them as much credit last time. They probably should have been 17th or 18th the last time we did the power rankings. But as like we know, I think it was in the midst of like a Halliburton injury or Miles Turner, so that hurt them. But Halliburton's back. It's very gimmicky. Like they don't really have a great plus net rating, but I don't know. Is the gimmick going to get tired and things fall apart here? We're going to find out, I think, over the next month because this was the time last year when it kind of fell apart for the Indiana Pacers, but it was because of another Halliburton injury. So I don't know, kind of the lulls, in January and early February before All-Star break, things can flip for teams. So this is kind of a dangerous time, and we'll know who they are over the next month. Number 15, talk about dangerous time. The Miami Heat, they were 3-7 in their last 10. Previously were 8th in our ranking. So I think I had said during that time that they're going to fluctuate between, 12 to 15. Well, they pulled the Terry Rozier trade for Kyle Lowry, which I like Terry Rozier. I thought he'd be an interesting get for the Grizzlies as a bench guy. I'm not sure I love the Heat getting rid of Kyle Lowry because, yeah, I know it's Kyle Lowry, but he did a lot of little stuff for them that now all of a sudden you're hoping Terry Rozier and Tyler Hero can give you. So maybe they're just kind of fingers crossing it, hoping that, the report is Kyle Lowry's going to get a buyout from the Hornets because no one's trading for Kyle Lowry, right? Like, no one's going to give up assets for an expiring contract in 36-year-old Kyle Lowry, or however old he is. Maybe they're hoping for a buyout, and the strategy is to just bring him back after the buyout, which would be really nice for the Heat, right? Like, you basically just at that point send out a future first for Terry Rozier, and you still keep Kyle Lowry. So, who knows what's going on with that, but this is kind of like a not a dangerous time for the Heat. They'll obviously figure it out, but how far will this go for them, this drop for them go before they figure it out? Number 16, which last time they were also 16th in our rankings, the Los Angeles Lakers. So everybody, I think, is just waiting for what the move is. We know they're going to do something, right? So is this quote unquote a sleeping giant? They were 16th a month ago, they're 16th now. So what are we waiting for? Just the trade, and then all of a sudden everything's going to be great. Yeah, I'm not sure I believe that. But they have LeBron and AD, so things could be great. 17th, the Magic. Previously, they were 13th in our list. They were 16th, and well, let me preface this by saying we said last year the Orlando Magic had a horrific start to the season, and then they played 500 us away, and they were just kind of like, the talk all summer was like, man, if we didn't have such a tough start, we didn't have a tough start, we didn't have a tough start. So me and Cody made a pretty easy and accurate prediction that they would overcompensate for that. They would start really fast, and then it would go back, they would fall apart towards the end. Well, here it is. They're 16 and 7 on December 11th. Since then, they're 7 and 14. So they're 23 and 21 overall. Look, in the East, that's good enough to keep you in the playoff picture. Now, most of this is injuries, right? So we have to get credit where credit's due. Wendell Carter Jr.'s been out, but even though they won some games without him. The big one is Franz. Franz Wagner has been out. And that's kind of where a lot of this slide has come from. But 7 and 14, we had said this was going to happen. They're a 500 team. They just are. We didn't believe the hot start for the Magic. The problem is the shooting. There's just nothing, like the shooting is just going to hurt them. It's just like the Thunder have gotten better and have been consistent at shooting, and the Magic just do not have that shooting consistency to consistently bail them out. So here we are at 17. Number 18, the Utah Jazz, who previously were 25th. Will Hardy, quote unquote, the problem solver. Like the Keontae George injury, I think might have saved their season. Keontae George was coming off the bench at first, and then Will Hardy started him at point guard, and they started losing a lot of games, but that did coincide with a lot of injuries kind of staggered from a bunch of guys. As soon as Keontae George went out, Will Hardy went to Chris Dunn and Colin Sexton. And it completely flipped their season. So they're on a nice kind of run here. How much do you believe in the Jazz? I don't know. Like, are they the 18th is probably a great spot for them. Are they a top 15 team in the NBA? I doubt that. No. But a combination of getting healthy, playing more vets. Keontae George is still playing. He's just coming off the bench, which he should have been originally, right? But Will Hardy just figures this kind of stuff out. And so the Jazz are just kind of in a weird position where you kind of have to get rid of good players on your roster because Will Hardy is going to find ways for your talent to win. So if the Jazz, like, Will Hardy's kind of like tank proof. Like, you have to make it miserable for Will Hardy and his staff to have absolutely nothing in the cupboard for them to lose games. So the guy's just gonna win. So are they gonna make the play-in? I don't know, but they're gonna be right there, right? Number 19th. Yeah, this is finally where they show up. The Golden State Warriors, who previously were 15th, and they just continue to get worse and worse, more inconsistent. So what do you do about them? Like, Jonathan Kuminga does the call out. Like, it's Jonathan Kuminga, right? And he's calling out Steve Kerr, right? Like, and that bodes well for the season. Come on. We'll be interested to see if they make a move. Number 20, the Houston Rockets, who previously were 14th. And here comes the regression that I, mentioned in the first time around, or I think I did. Like, they got credit for what they had done at that point, and that got them 14th. But I said this team could, it's very possible for his team to slide back. And here comes the slide, and it's a pretty heavy regression. But it's also coinciding with them playing younger guys more. And it's just the fact, like, when you play young guys like that, you're just going to lose more games than you win. That is just part of it. And so they started playing Cam Whitmore more out of injury necessity, I believe. I think Dylan Brooks has been dealing with some stuff, and other players have been dealing with stuff. But you're going to have regression when you play young guys and rookies. It just is what it is. Is there a bounce back? Maybe a mini one. But it's going to be a fight for the end in the play-in. And I don't think they'll probably make the play-in now, but you just don't know. The 21st team on our list is the Chicago Bulls, who previously were 23rd. They're like CJ McCollum. If you remember the infamous tweet that he sent, "I'm trying, Jennifer." Like, this team's trying. Like, you think it's going to be a good team, and it's just, they're just bad. DeMar DeRozan looks washed to me. Like, he can have a night here or there, but like it just like him playing against the Grizzlies, it's just rough. Like, it's just not the same pop. So I fear it might be over for DeMar. But Alex Caruso, man, get him out and get him on a good team. That dude is a defensive monster, man. 22, the Atlanta Hawks, who previously in our rankings were also 22. And what is this team doing? They're going nowhere. They're bums. Their star player's a bum. There's nothing going for this team. And y'all, like, here's the like the craziest thing about it to me is that they got a new head coach and he had success with the Utah Jazz. Oh, he's gonna fix them. Yeah, they're gonna play up and down. They're gonna play great now. Yeah. Dude, a coach does not have that kind of influence, dude. Like, it is about your players. And if your players do not give a crap, it does not matter who your coach is. So, Trae Young doesn't care. Like, he can say he does. He does all the flashy stuff. Like, he has the stats. Gonna be an all-star for most of his career, probably. And one run in the Eastern Conference playoffs that was a fluke. We think that this man is good. Like, it's like Kyrie. He's entering Kyrie territory. Kyrie needed LeBron. Without LeBron, Kyrie was nothing. He's still a really great player, but he's not going to win you anything. And that's what Trae Young is with this team. So people are just like, oh, they hired that coach. Oh, they hired him? Oh, they're going to be good again. What is your, what, like, because he did decent at another place? Like, it's all about your players and infrastructure. And the Atlanta Hawks do not have the players or the infrastructure. Oh, Capella's good. Okongwu's good. No, they're not. Stop it. 23, the Brooklyn Nets. Previously were 21st. This is just like all of these teams you can just put together and like, what are we doing, man? Like, I'm trying, Jennifer, tier. I mean, if I'm doing tiers, this is the I'm trying, Jennifer. They want to win. They suck. And we had said this was the case. They have, like, for Sean Marks, there's no more moves left that you can do to save your job, dude. Which this is the only reason why he still has these players on this roster, is he's trying to save his job. Because as soon as you get rid of all those guys, you admit that you failed in the KD, Kyrie, and James Harden experiment. Newsflash, you failed in the KD, Kyrie, and James Harden experiment. When is the ownership, I think it's Joe Tsai, right? Like, when is ownership going to realize, okay, it's time to move on? I need a fresh perspective here. So either Sean Marks has to do it to get that fresh perspective, or you fire Sean Marks. Sean Marks is doing whatever he can to keep his job, and it's going absolutely nowhere. 24, the Toronto Raptors previously were also 24th. This is the one where it's like, it's the Nets, but they finally did something. So they got rid of OG Anunoby. They got rid of Pascal Siakam. They finally did something. Is it going to be anything that's going to kind of hold their franchise afloat? No. But at least they got maybe a piece that can stick with them in RJ Barrett. But this is finally a move. This is finally, okay, let's do something. Like, we've done this long enough. And so this is like, when are the Brooklyn Nets going to figure out they're the Toronto Raptors? 25. This is how far we've fallen. The Memphis Grizzlies, who previously were 19th, and the previous time I was giving them a little bit of a bump because of the expectation with Ja coming back in the first handful of games. And then the season fell apart. It's sad. Yeah, we're a bottom five, six team in the NBA. Like, well, we're winning games still. Okay, great. Like, we can barely scrape together 105 points. So the past couple wins, like, teams have been sleepwalking against us. And we're a very sleepy team. We just stink. Like, we do. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, we win a couple games here and there. We're pretty close to, we're like 4.5 games out of the play-in. With how this season has gone for us, like, we're 17 and whatever, I think. We're just not very good, man. So I know that there could Desmond Bane could be coming back here in a few weeks. Marcus Smart could be coming back here in a few weeks. I'm not really concerned with them coming back. Are we making the play-in? No. I just now there here's the thing. There's no reason for this Grizzlies team to tank. Like, they just don't, I don't, they don't care at all about tanking. And so the group that they have out there is a group that wants to prove that they deserve a contract, right? Like, David Roddy, Zaire Williams, GG's getting some playing time now, John Conchar, Xavier Tillman, like, all the guys, Jacob Gilliard, they just signed Scottie Pippen Jr. Like, all these guys are guys that are trying to prove they belong on an NBA court, right? It's not a situation where most taking situations like, okay, you suck. You know you're not going to be with us. Like, just go out there and play and lose for us. The more you play, the more we lose. The Grizzlies are in a situation where they're playing guys who they're trying to figure out, if they can win, right? If they can win with. But they're also those players are trying to prove that you can win with me. So they're doing whatever they can to carve out a role for them a year from now. So are they going to win more games than we expect them to win? Yes. Are they going to be in a lot of games that we're like, how are they possibly in that? Yes, they're going to be in those games. The question is going to be, how many of those games are they going to luckily pull out a win in? Now, luckily for them, the stretch of games coming up for them, I believe in early February, are pretty easy, man. Like, they could win a bunch of these games. Like, it's weird. Like, could they hold water until the other guys come back and make a push after the All-Star break in the final 25 games or so? It isn't, it's entirely possible. Do I expect it? No. Because you just have to look at the players that are playing. I mean, we're beating teams right now scoring 105 points. Like, it just doesn't have, it's not sustainable. And we're shooting well. That's the thing that's happened the past couple games. We're shooting like 40 or 50% from the field and mustering 105 points. Like, you should be scoring 120 to 125. So enjoy the wins is what I'm trying to say, because I think a lot of losses are about to start piling up. But the developmental gift year is what this is for Vince Williams Jr. and GG Jackson. See what you got, David Roddy. But Vince and GG, those are development guys. You can literally get rid of four other guys if you want to. They're just not going to develop. I mean, how many more minutes do you need for Zaire, David Roddy? How many more minutes do you need to see? How many more, like, you'd rather just keep John Conchar and get rid of Roddy and Zaire. Like, you can get rid of Jake. You can get rid of everybody else. It doesn't matter. These are the two guys who, in their time that they've been given, have shown you the most. Like, Gigi's just a natural feel. Is it going to take time? Yes. Vince, it's just a natural feel. Like, he just needed time. And here's the thing. We would have never found out about them if it wasn't for this devastating injury season. So, a setback for a year, we hate it. Yes. But is this ultimately, like we've said before in Silver Linings in previous episodes with me and Cody, you lucked into finding the two guys that could really make a difference for your team, 1 through 8 or 1 through 10, if this is how deep of a roster that's going to go when they're full strength. So it sucks, but we found our two. Everybody else can go. Like, honestly. Like, now they got to keep him. I get it, because you need players to play. You can't play with seven players. But Zach Kleiman hasn't done really a bunch of moves during the regular season. During the offseason, I mean, come on. We're going to get another, what, 1,000 minutes from David Roddy and Zaire by the end of the year. They're going to be exactly the same as they were at the beginning of the year. Nothing is going to change. So most of that class, Zaire, Roddy, Jake, we haven't seen Jake because he's just injury prone. And that just happens to players, right? Like, he has all the promise in the world, can't stay healthy, so he can't show anything. Like, all of those guys can go. You don't need them. You have Gigi and Vince. They're the ones who have shown you with the minutes that they've been given. Now, it is early. That's the thing about Vince, man. It's like, it's been, what, 2 months? So it's still early, and we're not going to win a lot of games. So it's like, okay, when we do win games, it feels like a lot of Vince Williams Jr. is doing a lot of stuff. What happens when it's full strength and now he's out there in a big time game against the Denver Nuggets? Is it going to be like, oh crap, okay, yeah, he was an undrafted rookie that we signed. Ooh, maybe we should pump the brakes. Like, that's the kind of question that we don't know. But it's going to look good, and everybody's going to be excited for what it is now, because we're just not expected to win games. And it seems like Vince Williams is part of the big reason why, if we win a game, it's because of Vince Williams had a good game. So it's interesting to look forward to the future, but at least we know two guys for sure that are real pieces. But like I said, they're 4.5 games out of 10. Who knows? 26, the Portland Trail Blazers. They're previously 26. Nothing to say about them. They can have some frisky wins, but they're a young team. They're just the funniest thing they're doing right now is petitioning the loss to the Thunder, because they claim that Chauncey Billups was trying to call timeout before they called a travel or whatever it was. So petitions are funny, because sometimes teams actually win them, and they replay like the final 2 minutes, and then like people don't play them. Like, they have the final 2 minutes, but they don't play, like the stars don't play, and so they ultimately don't matter. But it's funny that the Blazers would petition that, being one of the worst teams in the league. Like, who cares, dude? A loss helps you. 27th, the Washington Wizards, who previously were 27th. There's a lot of the same here at the end. No surprise. Are the Wizards going to be selling off pieces? That's what they make it seem like. But what I don't want to see from this team is all of a sudden they get rid of their coach, Wes Unseld Jr. I really like him as an offensive coach. Has he lost the locker room? Probably. There's been multiple times where you can see the Wizards players are just like, dude, come on. But If Wes Unseld Jr. gets fired, I want him on the Grizzlies, replace Patrick St. Andrews, because he could bring an actual offense that makes sense instead of old, analytically stand in the corner Andrews face. Yeah, the Wizards just stink, man. Like, what's Wes Unseld Jr. supposed to do? And I love his offense. It's very sophisticated and a lot of fun. His players just suck. 28th, the Charlotte Hornets, who were previously 28th. The bottom out of this team will be disgusting. I mean, they already are awful, but I think the route in which they're going to bottom out even more here is just going to be gross. But I'm interested to see who's going to steal PJ Washington from this team. I would love him for the Grizzlies. I don't know what they would want from us. I'll give you every young player we got, except for the two previous that we talked about. I'll give you picks. You can have our lottery pick, and you can have Zaire, Roddy, Jake. You can have them all. I'll take PJ Washington. 29th, the Spurs, who were obviously previously 29th. Victor Wembanyama's cool. And yeah. 30th, the Detroit Pistons, who previously were 30th. No shock here. And this is a team where, usually if you're bad, which the Pistons are awful. At least there's hope, right? And you can say, like, oh, Cade Cunningham, there's hope, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just, there's not like a lot of hope with this team. I'm sorry. Last time I gave out like league average stuff, like effective field goal, 3-point percentage. So we're going to update you that with a little bit more Grizzly stuff. League average effective field goal percentage is 54.62%. The Grizzlies are currently at 51.5%. Or actually, I think I tweeted this out last time. I didn't say this in the episode. I tweeted it out from our free basketball account at FreeBball2 if you're interested. So league average 54.6%. We're shooting 51.5. League average 3-point percentage is 36.67. The Grizzlies are at 34.2, which is actually an improvement for them from where they started. A minus 5.6 net rating. The top teams in the league, if you remember we saying earlier in the episode, Celtics plus 9.7, Thunder plus 8, Nuggets plus 5.4, Clippers plus 5.7, 76ers plus 8.4. The Grizzlies negative 5.6. And the wild thing is they still won a handful of games here. So maybe this is kind of a fact that like maybe this thing will turn around a little bit. The most interesting thing I want to mention about the East, I've not liked the East all year, especially at the bottom. I just want to say this before we end the episode. The bottom five teams in the Eastern Conference, which are the Nets, the Raptors, the Hornets, the Wizards, the Pistons, combined each in their last 10 games, they're combined 9-41. Like the bottom of this East is awful. And like it's funny that to me, like, they're just going to keep bottoming out because, like, we suck anyways. We might as well get the top pick. Like, bro, you do not want the top pick in this draft. The more and more I start looking at this 2024 draft, you just don't want a top pick in it. Why are you bottoming out for the worst draft in probably 10 years? Like, there isn't, like, this draft is rough. Is there going to be good players that come out of it? Of course. There's good players all the time. But in drafts like this, the good players come in like the 7 range, 7 to 10 range, or someone catches someone in the 18 to 24 range. Like the top 6 of this is going to be pretty nasty, I think. They're a combined 9-41 in their last combined 50 games between those 5. You're like, "Well, what about the West?" Like the West of the bottom of the West sucks. Okay, the bottom five of the West, the teams are the Rockets, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, the Spurs. The Rockets, Warriors, Grizz are bottom five teams in the Western Conference. They're combined 19 and 31. So 10 games better only. This is like just to compare and contrast the West versus the East. And here I am saying it was going to be a shorter episode than last time. And here we are almost at the same time. So thanks for listening in for this week. That was an update. I promise a month from now, it'll be faster. But Cody will be back next week. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of NBA basketball. And we'll see you guys next week.